Stand by, Terry Saul Show. 5, roll tape. 4, cue Jerry. 3, bring audio up. 2, stand by. 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest, these are men America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest, make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Boy, that music just never gets old. Love that stuff. Good morning, and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM. We are KSLM. I am your host, and I'm so glad that you joined us. Today's special guest, well, he's a local guy, but he's never around. We'll figure that one out. I don't know how that works. Our guest today is it musician? I always get those two mixed up, Greg. Musician and musician. A musician plays music.
Yep. Magician.
A magician makes the violin disappear.
Yeah, there. That's a good way of looking at it. Sure. I'm a comic magician.
There you go.
I do a funny magic show.
Our guest this week is Greg Moreland. I've known Greg for several years, but you're never around. You live here in Salem, but you're just never here.
I do. I've been doing this for 35 years. I used to work comedy clubs, and I'd be here and there. And for the last 20 years, I've been on cruise ships all over the world.
That's not a bad gig.
It is not a bad gig. I'm not here a lot, but Salem is still my home.
Now, when you say you've been on cruise ships,
yes,
we're going to get into some of the different places that you've been, but how did you get started in comedy?
Well, let's see. I got a magic kit when I was in fourth grade.
Didn't we all?
Yes, we did.
Didn't we all?
And most of us stuck with it for about 6 months, 3 months, 6 months.
Yeah.
I kind of kept with it. Then I discovered I wasn't that great at it. I wasn't that good, but I found I could make it funny. People really enjoyed laughing, and I think even more than being amazed at the magic, and because I couldn't really amaze people, and I couldn't really pull off this, oh, look what I just did.
Right.
I didn't understand how to make that palatable. But I found I could make it funny, and people enjoyed laughing as much or more as they did seeing the magic.
Before we started today's show, you were out entertaining the girls here at the radio station there with a couple of card tricks that I'm sitting there and I'm watching and I'm thinking, I'm going to figure him out. You're not going to get this past me. And of course, you got it past me.
And I saw you watching very close.
Oh, I was watching your hands all the way, and I thought, no.
And we use the term burning you. We say, oh, the guy was burning me, which means they hold their eyelids open so they don't blink.
Yes.
And
yes.
You were watching every move. And yeah, I showed him a couple quick tricks. And it's really not so much fooling. If you'll remember their reactions, their reaction was like glee.
Yeah.
Like they even squealed a couple times. Oh, because it makes you feel like a kid if you see a magic trick, if it does what it's supposed to do. If a guy does it, I don't want to flatter myself, but if you do it well, it creates that feeling of wonder. People say that, oh, I felt like a kid again when they see magic. And do you want to hear my theory on why that is?
Yeah.
Okay, when you're young, you don't know where to file things in your head. When we get older, we know how to file things.
Okay.
Oh, this car is going too slow in front of me. Oh, here's a stoplight. I know how this door handle works. But when you're a kid, a lot of stuff is new. And you're used to not knowing where to file things. Well, when you see a magic trick that just astounds you, you have no place to file it. And that's why you feel like a kid again, because your brain can't process it. Wait, that is impossible. So
wow.
I think that's why it makes people feel like a kid.
See, it tends to piss me off.
Yeah.
Because first of all, you came in here, you did the card trick with me. Then you went out and you showed the girls. And you did the card trick about three different times. And I thought, I'm going to figure this out. No, you're not going to get past me.
Right.
I'm going to figure this out. And I couldn't figure it out.
And
I'm walking away thinking, oh,
and you did something that magicians call, do this again so my kid can see.
Mm-hmm.
You show a magic trick. In the joke, it's always a master magician. And a young kid shows the master magician a trick. And he doesn't want to admit he's impressed.
Right.
So he goes, hey, would you do that again so my kid could see?
That's what I did.
You did
that's
that.
That's what I did. That's exactly what
you said. Hey,
show the girls.
Yeah, you got to show the station manager.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other gal.
And if I wasn't impressed, I'd have stayed in here while you went out the show. No, I was right there with you.
Yeah, I know.
Because of the tricks that you did.
Uh-huh.
When you and I'm not going to ask you how you do card tricks, but the last time we did an interview when we were on that other radio station, Brand X, you did a thing with a pencil.
Okay.
And we can't do it now because it's obviously radio here, but mm-hmm. You actually had a pencil. I'm not sure. You either moved along or the pencil all of a sudden just started moving.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I'll figure him out. And I went home that entire afternoon, tried that thing. That damn pencil never moved.
Yeah. And I swore
I'd never have you back.
There you go. Ideally, now I really work to make my magic entertaining. Ideally, you don't get that reaction. You don't get the, damn it. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
Ideally, you don't get that. Ideally, you get this feeling of glee. Now, something that I've had the liberty to do, I do a lot of street magic. When the ship will dock in Hong Kong or Shanghai or Madagascar, I will get off the ship a lot of times and do magic, especially in the poorer countries. It's nothing I've ever taken any money for. It's just something I do. And I always have rubber bands. You can see I have rubber bands
that, yes.
around my wrist. And I will at some point just start doing magic to people at a store, people in a market. And again, nothing I ever take any money for. I do it because I really like making my craft better, and I really like practicing. I really like doing my craft. I really like to see the expressions in people's faces when they see something happen that they know is impossible. You know?
How do you learn the tricks? Is there a school you go to? Is there a book you open? What is it you're doing to learn these tricks?
There really are no schools. There is a fair amount of books now. You can learn on DVDs. I've been able to learn on DVDs for 20, 30 years, 25 years.
Hmm.
I don't get a whole lot of them because I don't learn a lot of new tricks. Because I'd rather, instead of learning 20 new tricks, I'd rather learn one or two tricks really, really well. But there's people that make a living creating tricks for magicians.
And the rule is you don't show anybody how to do it?
Yeah.
Is that cruel?
Yes. But people are disappointed when they find out. If I almost guarantee you, Terry, if I would show you how I did some of these tricks I showed all of you, you would be disappointed.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you would. Yes, you would.
I'd be sitting there, I'd see dollar signs. Thinking, how could I make a buck off of this?
I was at a magic convention a month or two ago in Las Vegas, and a guy said a great quote. He said, it was a magician. He said, we don't keep secrets from our audience. we keep secrets for our audience.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We're not doing it, hey, I know how to do this and you don't. That's the wrong attitude. But, you know, when a kid, when you're in fourth grade, that's the attitude you take because you want to have superpowers. Hey, look what I can do that you can't. Mm-hmm. And as you evolve doing this, you get to the point where, hey, how can I make people happy with this?
So how long does it take you to master a trick? If you started to learn a trick today,
yeah,
how long would it take you until you really feel comfortable to put it into your act?
Okay, till I'm comfortable with it and putting in my act is two different things. Yeah, usually like 6 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, 6 weeks, and that's an hour, 2 hours a day. I don't make a living doing close-up magic with cards and rubber bands, but I do it. I really like it. If I will learn something with a rubber band, for instance, I might put a let's say it's a card trick. Now, these aren't – I don't want people to get the picture that we put seven rows of three and there was a bunch of piles of – I don't want you to think of
that's
your
the
brain.
One I know how to do.
Yes.
Why do you find that funny?
Because that's the trick everybody's
that's the
grandfather,
amateur one.
Yeah, told him to do. Yeah, generally like 6 weeks, sometimes 6 months. Sometimes some tricks I can learn in a day. Some are that easy.
Now, Louis Anderson one time told me, when we're talking about comedy and jokes, he says, try your joke out in front of three different audiences. Huh. And if it doesn't work, he says, can it. Just don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Do you do that? If you're trying a joke and it's not working the way you want it to go, will you try it again? Or will you just say, you know, this isn't the one for me?
I got to admit, a failing of mine, I tried a lot more because I know it's funny. But it's not. It's not funny unless the audience laughs. But I have this thought and I've been right about, let's see, 9 out of 10 of these other things that I've crafted, and I go, that is funny, and they're not laughing. Well, it's not funny. They're not laughing. I do it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I might try it 10 times, and you might twist. Sometimes just shifting two words around makes the difference, believe it or not,
mm-hmm.
in comedy. Sometimes just shifting the sentence, using this, using a gesture, stressing this word, but you have to try it out. It's like ping pong. You need, let's call it a partner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need an audience to try things out. Yeah, you can practice stuff in front of a mirror, but that only goes so far. So when you say, when does it go into the act? If, let's say I practice it for 6 weeks, get really comfortable so I can do it without thinking about it, then you do it in front of the audience, and then you find, ooh, that went too long, or ooh, I'm dragging this too much. So then you kind of have to do it in front of, I do, at least a dozen audiences before I...
Really?
Yes. Yeah, get the rhythm of it. Because your audience will tell you where the rhythm is by
sure.
their laughs, by their rolling their eyes.
In my case, by getting up and walking out of her room.
There you go.
When you're doing these shows, how long of an act do you actually do when you go out there and do?
And on the theater, on the cruise ships, I do 45 minutes. And by the way, that's how long a show I'm doing here. Yeah, I don't know if you mentioned
tonight,
doing a show.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in the next segment. It's coming up tonight, yeah.
Tonight here in Salem, and I mm-hmm. hardly do any shows in Salem. 45 minutes on the cruises. You know, they have these nice theaters between 400 seats and 1,200 seats. And the 45 minutes is the standard.
Okay. And how many different tricks will you do in that 45 minutes?
Depends on how you count them. Let's see. When my hand, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, if you count them tricks. Yeah. But there's a lot of byplay in the tricks.
Mm-hmm.
And in my show, it's not so much about amazing people. It's about the byplay.
Do you ever bring the audience involved in
your
shows?
I do. And if I had this to do over again, I would have made my act so I don't. People enjoy when you have a volunteer, but I'm getting to the age where, oh, here's one more thing I really have to pay attention to. It makes you have to be present,
yes.
Mentally present. And here's this wild card that you invite into your show every show. So if I had it to do over again, I would not be dealing with that wild card.
See, mine's a little bit different because I enjoy bringing an audience in because I think its main reason is I'm such a smartass that I can play off of whatever they say. But sometimes that can backfire on you real bad, too.
Yeah, but sometimes you just want to phone it in. I shouldn't be saying this out loud. Sometimes you just want to do the show and go get room service.
There you go. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you're performing tonight at the Northern Lights Theater Pub over there on Commercial. And if you're listening to this show on Saturday, Saturday. That's when it's going to be. If you're listening to this show the following day on Sunday, hey, how was your show last night?
Hey, it was fantastic.
There you go. That's
if you didn't see
hear.
It or talk to anyone that saw it, it was fantastic.
There you go. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special easy for me to say. I talk for a living. Special guest Greg Moreland. Back in a moment.
You're listening to The Terry Soul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM KSLM. We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
Welcome back to the Terry Saul Weekend Show. Our guest today is a friend of mine, Greg Moreland. And Greg does comic, magician. Did I get it right?
I do a funny magic show.
Funny magic show. All right. If you don't believe me, well, go out to the Northern Lights Theater Pub tonight. You're not only doing one show, but you're going to stay up late and do two shows, right?
I am. It's a show at 6:30 and then another show at 8:15. Same show, basically.
What are they going to see tonight? When you go to the Northern Lights Theater Pub, what are they going to see tonight? You're going to walk out there and say, hey.
Well.
Hey, what are you doing?
The good thing about doing the show, once I do the show, I've only got 3 more hours of community service, which is that is absolutely not true.
You've met your quota for the month, right?
You would just want everything off your record.
There you go.
It's a goofy magic show. It's hard for me to. I've done this for 35 years, but my life is a Jenga tower of low self-esteem, so. It's a goofy magic show.
Yeah. Now, is it for adults? Can I bring little Johnny and Billy and Sophie?
Yes, they can.
Who the hell is Sophie?
Particularly the first show, they say it's the family show.
Right.
And the second is over 21. It doesn't have to do with me being off color because I'm not. I think it has to do with, serving alcohol there.
Okay.
So they call the first show a family show, and the second show, for some reason, is 21 and over.
All right. But now, I've seen you perform a few times, and speaking of being off color, I don't think I've ever seen you do anything that is considered off color.
No, you just you cut your audience down when you do. I mean, you cut down where you can perform.
Mm-hmm.
And in 35 years, I've done a lot of different things, and I've performed in a lot of different venues. And it's just easier to stay clean and not remember, oh, I have to be clean here, oh, I have to be. Jerry Seinfeld used to talk about that. He says, hey, why would you want to limit your audience?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I've done a bunch of different things in my career. I started off doing school assembly shows, worked for an agency, and then I did comedy clubs, and then I was the opening act for like Ray Charles for a while, for Weird Al Yankovic, for a bunch of people. And then I started working on Chips. So what you're going to see tonight is it's a 45-minute kind of goofy magic show.
When I first started in there, I remember Louis told me one day, he pulled me aside, and he says, some of the greatest comedians in the world never swore. Jonathan Winters, Red Skelton, and at the time he said Bill Cosby.
Okay.
And if you think about him, and he told me, he says, if your material is funny, you don't need to swear.
Right.
He says, so just go out there and you don't need to swear. And if it's funny, you'll know.
Right. A lot of times young comedians will put in the F word. You call it comedy helper. It punches up a joke, but not for the right reason. You find out, oh, they're laughing because they're surprised that he swore in the middle of this punchline.
But then there's these guys that'll go out there and every other word.
Yep.
They drop on the F-bomb, and
yep.
It just kind of loses its punch, don't you think?
Yeah, but you know what? You got to admit there's something to be said for that. Eddie Murphy, he used the F-word a lot.
Richard Pryor,
yeah. Dice Clay really didn't get big until he went on The Tonight Show, and they had to cut it, you know? And Dice Clay started playing stadiums after that.
Mm-hmm.
I got a buddy who was his opening act. When he was doing that and that. So, you know, I guess there's something to be said for that. So, but it's just not my thing.
Right.
It's just not my thing.
So going out there tonight, you're going to be in front of your hometown.
Yeah.
This is Salem, man. You're going to be out there at the Northern Lights tonight. First show is at 6:30. No, is that
yep.
right? 6:30 and then 8:15.
Yep.
Is it going to be strange for you to perform at home?
It's not.
Because you're never here.
It's not my favorite thing to do.
Why?
Because there will be a few people there I know. I'm used to performing for strangers. When I'm in Asia on a cruise ship in a 800-seat theater, nobody knows me. So when I come on stage, they're getting to know me for the first time. So when I do a show where I see a handful of people that I know, I go, hey, wait, I'm not that person you know right now for 45 minutes. And it's just it's a little bit difficult. I would avoid it if I could. That's
really?
Why I don't do many local shows at all.
Yeah.
And I know the owner of the theater really well. Kevin is a friend of mine. And I guess I do a show there about every 5 years. And then he asks me, you know, like a year after the last one and like – even up to like a year ago, he said, hey, isn't it about time you perform there here? And I go, no, I was there like 9 months ago. Let's, you know, I kind of
You really don't
to
like being doing it locally.
Not then. I don't hate it. It's just a little funky.
Yeah.
It's just a little funky.
Don't you feel good though about having familiar faces out there that you know aren't going to heckle you, or is it going to be that they are going to heckle you?
No, I'm at the at this. No, people don't really heckle.
Well, you're doing magic too, so they really aren't going to heckle someone who's sitting there doing magic.
No, heckling is never really an issue. And by the way, heckling is an issue when you're starting out. You work a lot of gigs where you might get heckled because they didn't know there was comedy. This is usually karaoke night, and now they're having comedy on Monday night.
Okay,
and you know, and people drink their body weight. In a situation like that, you – and think about this. Comedians, yeah, you do get heckled, but not at a certain level where it's a nice theater and people pay more than a nickel to get in. And by the way, the show's only $10 tonight. It's only $10, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's a smoking deal.
Yes, it is. But I had a comedian buddy, Earl, he used to say, you know, comedy is the only – he'd say to the audience, comedy is the only art form, and let's call it an art form, that gets heckled. You didn't have like Monet or Van Gogh painting and someone comes up and go, more green, you idiot.
Yeah. Well, the show tonight is going to be at the Northern Lights Theater Pub over there on South Commercial. And the show is at 6:30, and then he's going to do a second show at 8:15. Do you like hang around after the show to meet the audience and chat with them, or do you just kind of get out of there?
Generally, I'm actually an introvert, so yeah, I kind of get out of there. I've been on really high end cruise ships the last 7 or 8 years, cruise ships that I could not afford to go on myself.
Right,
and it's in our contract to hang out with the guests afterwards. I'm a little on the Asperger's spectrum. I have got better at talking to people after the show because they demand it of me, and I've been on the higher end ships for 7 or 8 years. That's really been helpful.
We need to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to chat about a little bit of these cruises that you've been on. You've gone all over the world.
Sure.
And we'll do that when we come back right here on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM, 1220 AM. We are KSLM. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
Welcome back. This is the Terry Saul Weekend Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host. Today we are talking with my buddy Greg Moreland, who is going to be doing magic and comedy tonight at the Northern Lights Theater Pub on South Commercial there. He's going to be doing two shows. The first one's at 6:30. The second one is at 8:15. Ticket prices are pretty reasonable for crying out loud. They're only $10 a person there. Greg has performed all over the world. He's been on cruise ships. Do you I know that Salem is your home.
Yep.
Do you have a television?
Yeah, and I've been meaning, You know how you
get... Have you taken out of the box yet?
Right. You know how you get cable or the gym membership and you keep paying because it's on auto pay? Well, that's me. That's me.
How often do you get home every year?
You know, I've been on ships now for 20 years. I used to be out of the country for 9 months out of the year. Not necessarily in a row. Maybe I'm on a ship for 3.5 months. Maybe I'm home for 3 weeks. Maybe I'm gone for 10 days. Maybe it's a real wildcat thing. I mean, there's no normal schedule.
Is there any one particular company that you're working for as far as the cruise ships go, or do you just kind of jump around and...
You jump around if you do this. And this is, by the way, cruises is what people, I'm going to call myself a mid-level act. You know, if you're an act that you have no aspirations to be on television and you just want to make a decent living, you're on cruise ships. Pretty much. You know, you kind of graduate from comedy clubs to cruise ships. Nobody comes to see you. Nobody comes to see me on a ship. Mm-hmm. They come because they know the ship has good acts every night, whether it be a production show, a singer, or me. So, you know, it's where you – I was on Princess and Norwegian ships for the first 7 or 8 years of my career. And I might be mixing this up because it's 20 years. The last 6 or 7 or 8 years I've been on – I've worked for a cruise line you've probably never heard of, Oceania and Regent. Not many people have heard them. They're real high-end cruises. They're for the 1%. I could never afford to take one of these cruises. Your mass market cruises, I've been on a lot of Princess ships, a lot of Norwegian ships. What else? Yeah, so
Carnival?
I was on one Carnival ship.
Okay. No, why are you laughing? Did you not want to go back? Do you not want to stay?
Carnival is the party ship. You know, it's where a lot of college kids go to drink their body weight.
Right.
And frankly, we don't get a window. We get a very small room without a window on Carnival. That's just standard. And they do fly-ons, so they'll fly you on, and you'll be on the ship for 48 hours, and then they'll fly you off.
Really?
Yeah, that's a lot of work for me.
How does that work? They bring you on a helicopter?
No. You will join in, let's say...
one of the ports?
Yeah, I joined in Juneau. This was like 12, 13 years ago. And then 2 days later, I got off in like Ketchikan. You know, and I did a show on the day in the middle.
Now, are you on your own to try to get home from there?
No. They give us our flights. And the cruise lines that I'm on now, they actually come to my house, pick me up, and take me to the airport.
Well, then there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that at all.
So when you get on a cruise ship, let's just say you board on Sunday there.
Yep.
What do you do? When you first get there, what do you do? You're going to get your room.
Okay, I'm gonna move in, and I've gotten really good at this. I was gonna do a sleep study, by the way, to see if I have sleep apnea. And a friend said, "Oh, they're gonna put you in a strange bed, and you're not gonna be." I go, "Hey, who else is used to being in strange beds than me?"
Yeah, yeah.
You know, who has stayed? I couldn't even count the different rooms I've been in. Thousands. Oh, so I get on. I try and settle in. I find out when my show is. Let's say I get in on a Sunday, and I find out, oh, my show is Monday. So I get to know the production manager, the sound man. You know, come my show day, they will have a tech for me that'll run about an hour. I'll get my sound dialed in and any light cues that I have. You know, and I'll get a sense if this is going to be a sharp sound guy or not, and how tricky my sound cues can be. I just got on a ship. I was supposed to. A week and a half ago, I was supposed to fly home from Monte Carlo, Monaco. And they were going to give me a ride to the airport at 8 in the morning for a noon flight from Nice, which is right by Saint-Tropez. No.
Okay.
Monte
Carlo.
Anyway, so I wake up and Monte Carlo, I want to get around. I was going to fly home from, I got an email from my agent. Hey, don't get on the flight. You were asleep. We had to make the decision. We saw your schedule was clear. Princess, and this was an Azamara ship, Princess needs somebody in Vigo, Spain in 48 hours. So we already committed you. So that was fine with me. So the Princess flew me to Vigo, Spain to get on the ship. Now, here's the interesting part. The ship went from Spain to New York City. It only stopped in one place on the way. It's a repositioning ship, a repositioning cruise, transatlantic, they called it.
Okay.
So
what is repositioning for our listeners that don't know?
Well, maybe a ship spends the summer in the Baltic Sea. For the winter, it goes down to the Caribbean.
Okay.
For instance, like the summer is where there are ships in the Baltic Sea or the Mediterranean. This was in the Mediterranean. And in Alaska. And they're not there in the winter, so they migrate. The ship will migrate.
Okay.
And reposition. So this is a repositioning cruise. What I'm getting at, I was on the ship for 9 days. I didn't do a show till day 7.
So, really?
Yes.
So what are you doing all day then?
I had a lot of work that I needed to do, and which is would be boring to explain. A lot of stuff, you know, at home, keeping up with my I had a bunch
Your
of different
gym membership.
Gym membership, yeah. I work out every day. Lucky if I can find a crew member that plays ping pong, because I like to play ping pong. I read a lot. My first 3 or 4 years on ships, I gained about 20 pounds. I didn't do anything. I just walked around and I watched movies and I ate. And then I learned, hey, my brain is turning to mashed potatoes. Now I'm really busy. I don't have enough hours in the day to do everything I want to do, you know, to read, to do this, to do that. I work out every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have unlimited free food, you really got to get yourself on a sensible diet, you know?
Now, well, when you walk in there and you get all of yourself all settled and everything, do you go check out the different places, the restaurants, or are you on a ship that you've never been on before? Do you check out the theater? Or?
First thing I'll do is look at the theater. You know, and I'll see, and this theater was about 850 seats, and I just kind of notice the sight lines, and I'll watch a show. I've seen so many shows on ships, I usually can't sit through a whole show now, which is, by the way, how most people feel about my show. you know, I'll watch a show while, this ship, this cruise line, Princess, they let the entertainers go in the casino. So I played poker just about every night.
Now, we actually went on, the only cruise I've been on was with the Ruby on Princess Cruise Line and had a great time. As we were leaving Fort Lauderdale, I think is where it was, the captain came on there and told us, he said, we are not going to continue on our course right now because we are on the back end of a hurricane.
Ooh.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, are you trying to catch the hurricane or what? And he says, we're going to actually go along the coast of Cuba. And I thought, well, this is kind of interesting. So for the entire day, the next day, we could actually see the Cuban coastline.
Okay.
And I remember telling my wife, this is the closest we'll ever be to Cuba, you know. So
until now that they've opened it
exactly,
up.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep.
But have you ever gone someplace where you just all of a sudden blows your mind, I'm really here?
Yeah, the pyramids. Man, the pyramids. It's a roll of the dice where you go. Sometimes I'm in Asia year after year, or then I'm in South America a lot. The dice had never come up Egypt for me. And about 5 years ago, I finally got to see the pyramids. And that blew my mind because you see it on TV and it's something, hey, I'm only going to see this on TV. And then you're there and that blew my mind. The Great Wall of China, I've been to a couple times. That blows your mind. It blew my mind.
Now, when you get there, are you allowed to go out and sightsee?
Yeah, and one of our benefits, one of our perks is the ship has excursions. You can sign up for these day excursions. We usually get free excursions.
Oh, nice.
Which is nice, yeah. And of course, yeah, we have full passenger privileges. So we eat in the same restaurants the passengers do. We get all the privileges.
Now, are your rooms nice rooms, or are you below the water?
We get a window. We get a window. Mm-hmm. On the higher-end cruises, we get a balcony. Regent gives us a balcony, which is nice. This last cruise that I was on that I just told you about, the reason they needed a last-minute guy is because they changed their itinerary just like you described. It was supposed to go up to the Norwegian fjords, Bergen, Jørgen, and they had to change the itinerary, so that is why, I don't know, they couldn't get another act on and they needed me. And what did you ask me?
Okay, so if I asked about the rooms. If you are taking a ship from Fort Lauderdale over to, I don't know, somewhere over in Europe, when you get there, do you already have your next cruise lined up on where you're going, or do you sit there and have to say, call your agent and say, okay.
Oh, no.
Get me out of here.
You usually know what you're doing 6 months in advance.
Okay.
At one point, Oceania and Regent had me booked 18 months in advance, and that was really good because I could put that business part of my brain to sleep.
Do you travel by yourself?
Yeah. I'm a bit of a loner.
Yeah.
I grew up an only child. I was raised by a single mother, so I'm used to being by myself.
Are you married?
Never been married.
No?
Never been married.
I would think that would be tough on a family if you're only in town for 3 months out of the year.
Yeah, and I see other acts who are married, friends of mine, when they're on a ship, they're missing their family.
Sure.
And I think, why don't you get a job where you're closer to your family, if that means that much to you? I don't know. This seems like a job for a single guy.
Could you bring a guest along with you?
Yeah, okay. And they give us
good prices. Because I am available here. Yep. I mean, so just want to throw that out there.
Most cruises will, they'll give us a break, and it's a pretty good price.
Yeah.
But if there is not an empty room, the guest stays in your room.
Okay. But they were going to give your guest their own room?
They do if there's an empty room, yeah.
What's the capacity of these ships? How many people can...
Well, a large ship used to be 2,500. My first cruise ever was in 1999. I was in Hong Kong, a ship called the Superstar Leo, 2,500 passengers. At the time, it was the biggest ship in the world, 1,000 feet long, about the size of the Titanic, And now that is a small, mid to smaller ship. They keep making them bigger and bigger. I think there was one about 5 years ago that came out. I want to say Norwegian 5,200. I think there's one that's now 6,200 passengers. They just, it's
a lot of people to feed.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And imagining the logistics for the food and keeping it refrigerated, and it's kind of a miracle.
A lot of toilets flushing.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to take a break, a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up. More with Greg Moreland, who's going to be appearing tonight at the Northern Lights Theater Pub. There are still some seats available. It's going to be a fun show. You don't want to miss it. Back in a moment.
Hi, this is Doc Nelson. You're listening to my buddy, Terry Saul, Saltissimo, on KSLM 104.3 FM or 1220 AM. KSLM, Salem's first radio station.
We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1. You're on.
We are back with our final few minutes today. Our guest has been Greg Moreland, who's going to be appearing tonight doing comedy and magic at the Northern Lights Theater Pub. Two shows tonight, one at 6:30, one at 8:15. The cost is just $10 for the show. And when he's not here performing, he's out on the cruise ships cruising. How many ships have you been on? Any idea?
I don't know how many I've been on. If I had to guess... Different ships. Some ships I've been on a lot. Like, there's some ships that I've spent probably a cumulative total of 18 months
really?
On the ship. 3 months here, a month here, 10 days here. But I'll tell you, I looked this up because I knew I was coming on here and you were interested in cruise ships. There's about 250 cruise ships in the water at any time. About 250 ships.
Is that a low number?
Yes, yes.
It doesn't seem very many.
It might be 300 if you counted Viking ships, which have a lot of river cruises.
Right.
But I took me and a gal that does odd jobs for me yesterday. We looked at the list, and it was so long, I didn't want to make her count it, and I didn't want to count it.
Right.
So we go, okay, that's about 30 to a page. And then we scroll down 10 pages.
Yeah.
And then I subtracted the Viking ships. Norwegian. I would guess Norwegian has 20 ships. Carnival probably has 25 ships.
What do these ships cost? Any idea?
Oh, I hear it every once in a while, but I forget. I know there's some smaller ships that used to be princess ships that Oceania bought and Azamara bought, and they made them better. They made them from mass market ships to high end ships, and I know they put $50 million in it. Just to make the ship nicer, a small ship.
Wow.
I think.
Yeah. And who owns these ships? They're not owned by Americans, are they? Aren't they a foreign...
I can never keep track. All of a sudden, Princess is still Princess, but it's owned by Carnival.
Okay.
Or this is owned by NCL. So I've never been able to keep track of it. But I know Princess has a different complexion than Carnival, which has a different complexion than Crystal, for instance.
Do you ever get seasick?
I'm used to it. My first ship ever, I was on a ship in Hong Kong for about 3 months, and my legs couldn't tell me which way the ship was moving. I always thought, hey, during my show, what if they put a big oversized level above the stage where I could see it and the audience couldn't, and I could see which way the ship's moving. So I could go, oh, okay, so I need to use my left leg more. But now I don't even feel it anymore.
Yeah.
And they have, the big ships have big stabilizers. They're like big wings under the water.
When we went our cruise was a week long, and it took about 2 or 3 days to start getting a little bit used to it. But then I noticed that once you get off, you're still a little bit wobbly.
Yeah, and you know who walks straight in rough waters? Drunk people. That it counteracts.
Have you had any real bad experiences weather-wise, or the ship breaking down, or?
Oh, I was on a ship that ran aground. Hit
that can't be good.
Not ran aground. Hit a sandbar up the Amazon River.
Okay.
It was about six. And I noticed the ship tilted to one side, and then I couldn't figure out what was odd. And about 2 minutes later, I realized, it tilted to one side, and it didn't go back.
Unreal.
I don't remember how long we were there.
Yeah.
But, these sandbars, I guess they're not – they move.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Go through the Panama Canal?
Probably 50 times.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm so jaded, I probably went through it 30 times before I walked out and I watched the engineering of the water levels.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating.
How long does it take to get through there?
I haven't been through there in probably 5 years, but I would guess to go up one set of – well, there's three sets of locks, and every set of locks takes, I want to say, 20 minutes. I'm really guessing.
So you can make it through there in a day.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A couple hours and you're through.
Is there any one place that you think, I don't want to go there?
No, I don't get off the ship if I don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
This is how jaded I am. This last trip I was on, I flew to Lisbon. We were in Barcelona, Saint-Tropez, France, Monte Carlo, Valencia, Spain. I didn't get off the ship once.
Really?
Yeah, that's how jaded I am.
The family doesn't say, hey, while you're in Barcelona, pick me up, blah, blah, blah.
I'm done getting souvenirs. I've overbought souvenirs, you know, in my life.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you something interesting that happened on this last cruise. Can I?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, my first cruise ever in Hong Kong. I was out of my league. I was intimidated. It was a big ship. It was a 1,000-seat theater. And I was in Asia. I hadn't been out of the country hardly at all. Gone to Canada, maybe. And here I am in this big theater, and I was to do two 12-minute shows 6 nights a week in the middle of a production show. It was very intimidating for me. What helped me was the Smash Mouth song All Star. I had at the time, it must have been a cassette player with mm-hmm. about 5 songs on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that lyric, hey, now you're an all-star, get the show on, get paid. And I thought, yeah, whatever level of entertainment you are, that's what you do. You just get the show on, you get paid, and that's it. It's not that big a deal. That song really, really helped me. And now I use it in my show and in a different context. All right? So 4 or 5 days ago, I'm on the ship. I'm walking through the ship, and this couple got my attention. And they go, hey, you were the magician. And I go, yeah. And they said, hey, we noticed you like Smash Mouth. Because you use that Smash Mouth song.
Right.
And I said, yeah. And they said, our son's the bass player.
Really?
For Smash Mouth.
Really?
And I recounted that story, which I hadn't really bothered to tell anyone.
Yeah.
That how much that song had inspired me and really gave me some wind under my sails. So, and it touched them, and I kind of got a lump in my throat telling it to them. And they also did. And they said, hey, we're going to make sure and tell him. That's a great story.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Hey, with the final 2.5 minutes that we have left here, can you show me something?
Yeah. And I think this will translate on radio.
Okay.
They're going to – now you have a calculator.
Yeah. I got it right here.
Is that a calculator or is on your phone?
It's on my phone.
Okay. So okay. This is going to be a mind reading trick.
All right.
The 4 digits in your birth year, is there a 0 in it?
No.
There is not.
No.
So take those 4 digits and multiply them together. A times B times C times D. And you're not showing me. He's got it so I can't see it. I don't want to look at what you're typing. So you're putting A times B times C times D.
Okay.
Now take this and multiply this by a random 2-digit number. And again, I can't see
what
you're putting in. How many digits long is this number?
4.
4. Think of one of the numbers, one of these 4 numbers. Think of this. Don't tell me what it is. Don't pick a 0.
Okay.
So you've picked out a number mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And you've taken your time, I notice, because you're thinking, okay, which one's going to screw them up? Think of one of these numbers. If you read me the other 3 numbers, I'll tell you what number you're thinking of. Believe it or not.
600.
Wow. Did you think of 3?
I don't really like you at all. I don't like you at all. How the hell did you do
and
that?
And the number that you, after I told you it was 3, he showed me, and what is it,
3,600.
3,600, yeah. Yeah, let's do it again. Let's do it again. Multiply your 4
we got less than a minute here, so let's do it real fast. All right, go ahead.
4 digits of your birth year, multiply them together. Multiply that by a random 2-digit number.
Okay.
One of these numbers in the total.
Mm-hmm.
Think of one. Tell me the others. I'll tell you what your number is.
200.
Wow, you thought of 7.
All right. The show is tonight. He's absolutely right. Unbelievable. Show is tonight at the Northern Lights Theater Pub. Hey, Greg, when you're back in town, I know you don't like to do these things, but would you come back and join us again?
Been a lot of fun. Happy to.
I would love to have you back there. The show again at the Northern Lights Theater Pub tonight. There is one at 6:30 and one at 8:15. If you want some more information, best way to get a hold of them, Greg, real quick,
is you got to do a search for the tickets at Northern Lights Theater Pub, Greg Moreland, September 29.
There you go. And we are just about out of time this morning. A big thank you to our guest, Greg Moreland. Remember, go ahead. I'm sorry.
There might be a link to the tickets on my website if you go to gregmoreland.com and schedule.
All right. Where are you headed to now after the show?
Oh, after the show, I go to, I don't know where the heck I go. I go to Montenegro in a week. Montenegro, and then I see Santorini in Greece and blah, 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 on and on and on.
Send us a postcard, will you?
I'd happy to.
That's going to wrap up today's show. We'll be back and do this all over again next weekend. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Kathy McGifford. You're listening to Terry Saul.
That's a wrap. Good job, folks. And we're off. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.